Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton. Glad you're listening. Our producers, by the way, Harriet Williamson and Martha Deal, and Jason Croft is our technical director today. I think we've made it really clear by now that we love guitars and guitar music of all kinds. This week on Focus 580, we're doing all we can to corral as many guitarists as possible into the studio from the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. One of the most unbelievably cool kinds of guitar playing is slide guitar. During this hour of Focus 580, we'll talk with one of the modern-day masters of slide playing, Cindy Cashdollar. You may not know her name or music, but you will after this hour. Cindy played steel guitar for 8 years with the Western swing band Asleep at the Wheel, which I'm sure many of you know of, and during that time toured all over and won 8 Grammys. She's also played with Leon Redbone, Graham Parker, Bob Dylan, Jorma Kekkonen, Willie Nelson, Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Charlie Daniels, George Strait, and the Dixie Chicks, among others. Cindy Cashdollar has been a frequent guest on A Prairie Home Companion, and she continues to play steel guitar and dobro with a whole lot of other great artists on the road and in the studio. And she's in our studio today to talk about slide guitar, and we're going to play some music. And she's in town to take part in the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. And you have a couple of chances to see her play today and this evening. Today at 5 o'clock in the Krannert Lobby with Dyke and Chrissy Corson and friends and Red Volkert, a thing called Traffic Jam, which is a free public event in the lobby of the Krannert Center. So you can just show up and enjoy that. And then also tonight at 10 p.m., she takes part in a performance at the Folinger Great Hall called Masters of the Slide Guitar. You need a ticket for that, and I don't know if they're still available, but you know, you can call Krannert or go to the website walltowallguitarfestival.com and get more information there. And we're going to have her in the studio for the next hour, and we invite you to join us if you want to pick up the telephone and ask your own questions. 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Toll free anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. This is a great weekend. There's so much going on.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it is wall-to-wall everywhere. Everybody's scurrying everywhere.
Pretty much. And you're wall-to-wall yourself. You played last night.
Yes.
You have a couple shows today. I think you're playing tomorrow. And Sunday, or
we're doing a workshop tomorrow at Course of Music, and tomorrow evening we'll be at the High Dive, and then Sunday there is a free workshop at Course of Music at 12:30 p.m. where Red and I will be performing as well, and answering questions and things of that nature. And we're really excited to be here, and I think everyone involved in this festival has just done an incredible job. There's so many different types of styles of guitar represented, and we're really looking forward to playing the concert this evening. Daniel Lenoir is also one of the performers, and Dave Tronzo, and it's just been great. I think David Spellman and everyone involved in this whole festival has done a great job putting it together. And performing with me will be Red Volkert, who is just an incredible Telecaster player. He was with Merle Haggard for years, and we work a lot together in Austin. We have fun. We have a great time. So
I can well imagine. And by the way, the Course in Music is over on University Avenue, like University and First in Champaign, for folks who want to go there. Have you played with Dyke and Chrissy before?
Last night was the first night.
Yeah.
And we had a great time, actually. We played at the Iron Post, and Red has known them for quite some time, but that was my first introduction.
Well, they're local treasures.
Yeah, I can see why. They're great people and great musicians, so we had fun.
Great. Yes, well, I think hopefully people around here know about Dyke and Chrissy Corson. Let's talk about slide guitar, because to me it's like baffling that
me too.
Yeah.
Many times throughout the evening, it's baffling.
You have a style that is just beautiful.
Thank you very much.
I mean, your tones are just round and big and smooth. And to me, that seems impossible, because it's just, you know, like I say, it's baffling that you can even play in tune with this thing. You're not using frets. You're basically, it's like a trombone with strings.
Yes, that's a great description. I'm going to steal your description for something, maybe for the workshop.
Feel free, please.
Confuse people even more. No, it's I call it slide guitar. It's a beautiful instrument. there's so many textures and tones and styles, but it's also a very unforgiving instrument, and it is baffling sometimes because you realize, in one sense, not being able to stay in tune. Yeah, there's no frets. You have no contact with the fretboard. You're using a slide bar.
Yeah.
So it really is up to you to adjust. You know, I guess it's like flying a plane without any controls, really.
A scary thought. So what drew you to slide? I mean, I know you started out, at least I read in your bio, you started out just playing guitar. Mm-hmm. And at some point you kind of turned the corner and that became your thing.
Well, I heard a recording of John Fahey playing bottleneck style guitar. And I just love the sound of it. And so when I was still learning guitar, and I was in, I started playing guitar when I was 11, I, got a slide and tried to copy what he was doing, tried to figure out different tunings. And then some years later, I was waitressing in a little club in Woodstock, New York, where I grew up. And I saw someone playing a dobro, which is essentially a trademark name, but it's a resonator guitar. It's a wood body guitar with a big silver resonator, and you can the strings generally are raised off the neck, and you play it with a bar. So I love the sound of it so much, and at the time was very much into country music and blues, and so I thought, that's the perfect instrument. So that's how I started getting into playing slide.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, got into electric style playing.
Let's talk a bit about the instruments, because you mentioned the dobro, which is a wooden body instrument, correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. A wooden well, also the dobro company. The dobro name comes from the Dopera brothers. They were from Czechoslovakia. And dobro actually means good in Slavic language. But because the way their name was spelled, Dopera and brothers, they took those two words and dobro. So it really is a trade name. It's like saying Kleenex for tissue. But they made the model popular. They had a patent, and they started producing these wooden instruments. And then there were a lot of other companies that kind of jumped on the bandwagon with them, National and Balco and all those companies. It's a very, soap opera unto itself, the whole thing. But
yeah.
They produced wood body and metal body instruments.
Oh.
So a lot of the metal body National guitars that you see also are slide guitars.
Right. Okay, so the National, it's a brand, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's still in existence today, National yeah. Resophonic Company.
And those mm-hmm. tend to be steel bodies?
No, they make both.
Oh.
They still do make both. Uh-huh.
Shows how confused I am. So, but the sound between a steel and a wooden body guitar are very different.
Yeah, because the steel guitar is electric, and resonator guitars are acoustic. You can put a pickup in them and amplify them, but generally it's for acoustic purpose.
I told you I was going to ask dumb questions.
No, these aren't dumb. These are these are good questions.
But where does it all come from? Reading Tim Brooks's book, it seemed that all this came from Hawaii, basically slack key guitar and this mm-hmm. using a bar or something to change the pitch of the strings as opposed to pressing them down against the fretboards. Is that correct?
Yeah, and actually, the people in Hawaii were influenced by the Spanish sailors, and so it's there's slide guitar in so many different parts of the world. And thank you. Coffee delivery.
Where's
mine?
Much. Just kidding.
Yeah. Slide guitar is in many different parts of the world in many forms. But yes, it did originate from Hawaii. It was made popular. And there was that huge Hawaiian music craze. There were troops of them that used to tour. I would have loved to have seen that. Mm. They would tour the World's Fair. And the Hawaiian slide guitar playing became very popular as door-to-door course. Salesmen would go around door-to-door.
Wow.
And you would get a book. And if you got a lap steel, then you would get a really cool little matching amp. And, of course, if any of you have any of those in your attic anywhere, those are worth a lot of money. Right.
Call
now.
Cindy.
Yeah, call me here. But so the Hawaiian craze was everywhere. And then gradually it just started morphing into all this other music. A lot of blues musicians that played in the street and all over the place would favor the metal body resophonic guitars because they were louder. And then eventually it went into the Western swing era of music. And it started out acoustic and started out with old magnetic pickups and then eventually gained more strings and evolved into what we know as the steel guitar.
And now there's an explosion of different kinds of slide guitar types, I suppose. A Cambrian explosion of, you know, things, different species of things. We'll talk more about that. We have a caller to talk with. You want to do that?
Oh, great. Sure.
Okay. And let me just mention again, we're talking during this hour, Focus 580, with Cindy Cashdollar, master of the slide guitar. And that's the title of the performance tonight at 10 p.m. over at Krannert in the Tryon Festival Theater. I think I said the Great Hall, but it's the Festival Theater. Anyway, she's performing there tonight with David Tronzo, Daniel Lanois, and Red Volkert. And if you can still get tickets, it's certainly worth trying. And also at 5 p.m., a free traffic jam in the Krannert lobby. We have a caller waiting and time for others. If you want to join us, 333-9455. Toll free anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. We have someone in Belgium. I think it's Belgium, Illinois, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Line number four. Good morning.
Yes, it is Illinois.
All right.
just slightly change the focus of your thing. I heard in your introduction there that you worked with Leon Redbone.
Yes.
And he's got to be one of the most unique voices and type of musicians that come around. Could you talk just minorly about your experiences with him?
Well, I worked with Leon for 5 years, and actually I still work with him on a yearly basis. And he's, for those people that aren't familiar with him, he's just a wonderful icon. He's got a very unique, deep, beautiful voice. And, you know, I think a lot of people would just tend to classify him as a blues artist, but he's really, you know, it's really just old American songs that he does. You know, he's got so many influences, Lonnie Johnson, Jimmy Rogers, Emmett Miller, but he's also an incredible guitar player. And I, because his shows are so fascinating, a lot of people don't even sometimes focus on his guitar playing, but he's an incredible rhythm and lead player. And he has a lot of CDs out and became really an overnight sensation, I think, when he first appeared on Saturday Night Live, I think in the late 70s, in his white suit and Panama hat and sunglasses, and also was very well known after that for a Budweiser beer commercial that he did, I think. This Bud's for You, a lot of people remember him from that. But I think he's just really one of the true, you know, Americana is a very broad-based way to describe music today. But I would classify him as that. You know, it's just true American roots music.
Yeah, like you said, I was very impressed with him in that white suit and loved him ever since. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Saw Leon Redbone years ago here in town performing on the campus here with Little Feet.
Oh, that must have been a great show.
Yeah, and that was when Little George was still alive.
Yeah, you're very lucky.
Yes, I thought so too. And Little Feet is still going, of course.
Yeah, well, Lowell George, I would have liked, amazing slide guitar player. I think he had incredible tone, and he just had it, you know, and I never got to see him play, so you're lucky.
Although Paul Barrera is pretty amazing, too.
Oh, yeah, he's still with them.
Yeah. We have another caller.
Sure.
Line number one in Urbana. Good morning.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Hi there.
Hi, this is Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
Very nice to talk to you. I'd like to know a little bit about you playing with Yorma. I've had the privilege of taking a few bass classes from Jack Cassidy at the Fur Peace Ranch.
Oh, I was just up there a couple of months ago.
Beautiful.
With Jack and Yorma. And I love playing with them. And Yorma's guitar style certainly is it's very interesting to play with him because he... you know, he does a beautiful finger-picking style, a beautiful, it's very hard to explain what he does. He's a big fan of Reverend Gary Davis, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And but playing with Yorma, there's just a lot of breathing space. And so it's just fun. It's almost like scurrying in and out of traffic playing with Yorma. I just try and find a place, you know, and just kind of get in there and fit in there for a little while and then leave and let him drive around for a little bit and then race back in there.
Were you instrumental in introducing Barry Mitteroff to Yorma so he could join Hot Tuna? Is that true, or that was a rumor I had heard?
I think that's a rumor. I think it was Sally Van Meter
Okay.
who recommended Barry, and maybe first, but I think I did as well. But it's a pleasure playing with Barry, too. I did when Yorma was promoting his Blue Country Heart CD, Barry and I toured with him, and we had a great time. And Yorma is also on my CD slideshow. We're doing a song together.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. And you know, I'm feeling remiss because I didn't mention the title of your CD, Slideshow, which you just did, which we played a couple of tracks earlier, one to start the show and one before we actually started the show, that came out last year from Silvershot Records. And it features just an amazing array of great players, including Sonny Landreth, and I want to play that track, but including Yorma Kekkonen, who we were just talking about. And we have a caller, but I'd really like to play this track a little bit.
Sure. And also the caller mentioned Fur Peace Ranch, which is Yorma's wonderful place in Pomeroy, Ohio. F-U-R-P-E-A-C-E, Fur Peace Ranch. And great place to learn, wonderful atmosphere for workshops. I teach there every year.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. I'm doing a workshop there next year in June, I think the weekend of June 2nd, as well. Bill Kirchen will be there, too, and Yorma. And they have just a great time, and it's a very peaceful setting. And so if anybody's interested, and they have a variety of instructors, and I'm there every year either doing steel or dobro.
Great. Well, can we play this track?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is a track called Living in the Moment off Cindy Cash Dollar CD Slideshow. And it's her and Yorma Kekkonen. And you're playing a resophonic guitar?
Yes.
And mm-hmm. he's playing...
I'm playing a Paul Beard resophonic guitar. And he's playing a reissued Gibson,
yeah,
I believe. Yeah, in the liner notes I've listed, because there's so many different instruments on here, what year they are and what make and model. And this is a song that Yorma wrote and had never recorded. And we recorded this particular track up at Fur Peace Ranch in his studio. There's a recording studio there.
Okay, here it is. Okay, well, there's a lot more to that track in the CD. The track is Living in the Moment with Yorma Kekkonen and Cindy Cashdollar. The CD is Slideshow, and we'll play some more off the CD. Sorry, there was a caller I left kind of hanging there. If you want to call back, 333-9455.
Come back to us. Come into the light. Come back to the light.
Toll free, 800-222-9455. That just makes me think, as I was remarking to you off the air, about the subject of voice in a guitar player's style. And, you know, I can hear that it's Yorma Kekkonen. I mean, I hear it's just, you know, it's an acoustic guitar, but it just says who it is. And you have this remarkable voice that is distinct and unique, and it's yours.
I think it's really, you know, playing any instrument is. It's like singing or speaking. You know, you can tell who it is sometimes. You know, people leave their mark. And yeah, Yoram is definitely one of those people, as is all the artists that are on this CD with me. You know, a lot of them I can tell in four bars of music sometimes, just hearing them on the radio, who it is, you know. And slide guitar, especially to me, is like singing. You know, there's vibrato that you create with the slide bar, moving it back and forth across the strings to a varying degree. Hawaiian music vibrato is very, very fast and quick, but usually it's just used to sustain a note. And so it is. It's like singing. You can choose to, you know, raise or lower the pitch. You can choose to sustain as long as, of course, the instrument will allow. It's a little easier with electric. But I find playing slide guitar is very much like singing.
All right. We have our caller back.
Great.
Let's talk with them. We have actually several callers waiting. We'll go next to Georgetown, line number 4. Good morning.
Hi.
Yeah.
I'm on a cell phone, so I'll make it quick.
Okay.
I was just wondering if you have ever had the opportunity, or what you think of Ry Cooder.
Oh, I love Ry Cooder. He was and still is one of my big influences. I'm a huge fan of his. I never met him, but I think he's an absolute genius. I don't think he's ever done a bad project, whether it be a soundtrack or CD. I think he really... Just he's a very dimensional artist in his, not only his playing, but his vision of every project that he does.
Another unique voice on the
slide.
Just
incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sonny Landreth, too. I want to play this track in a little bit here with Sonny Landreth, because, I mean, it's the first track on the disc. And, you know, it's just obvious who Sonny Landreth is and who you are. Just listening, I mean, you think, well, there's two slide guitars. I mean, how do you tell the difference? But, I mean, it's really obvious.
Well, you can definitely tell the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sonny's, he's got a very, very unique sound as well. And I had met him, quite some time ago. We recorded with the Cajun band Beausoleil, did a CD called Chez les Cajuns. And Sonny and I both toured with Beausoleil for their 25th anniversary. So, it was a thrill to have Sonny on my CD and just get to sit there and watch him, you know, try and steal everything he was doing at the same time.
Let's go on and talk with some more listeners. Next up, line number 2 in Mattoon. Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. My 16-year-old grandson has been taking electric guitar lessons for about 3 years, and he's not learning to read music. He's learning to read, I believe the expression is tags.
Tablature. Uh-huh.
Tab.
Tab, yeah.
And I wonder how much good that is doing him. How do you feel about that as regards to regular music notes?
Well, I think tab, it depends on what style the person is playing. I think tab is, it's basically, instead of reading the actual music notation, for those that aren't familiar with it, it's just a different way to notate. They write out lines and spaces to simulate the guitar strings. Then there's number placed over the numbers and little series of symbols that people read. So it's a little more free, or you can actually on tab read when you're supposed to slur a note or bend a note. And I love tab for that reason. I think that it's extremely important to learn both music theory,
mm-hmm.
so you understand what you're doing. I think it's great to learn how to read music depending on what you do want to do. Do you want to be a studio musician? Do you want to get into reading sound, you know, doing soundtrack work? Sometimes mm-hmm. you actually have to read music notation. You have to know that stuff. I think tablature is great. I think it's much more easier to, it's just more user-friendly, I think, for a lot of people that are learning, and it takes the pressure off, and it's just a lot more freer, and I think it's great that he's doing that.
Yes. Well, I appreciate your input. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. You know, and it's true that a lot of guitar players don't even read music at all.
No. I mean, just go by ear, but then, yeah. Of course, it depends on what you... You know, if that is your definite goal, to do nothing but jingle soundtracks. I mean, I do a lot of jingle work. I've never had to read music notation. Thank goodness. I think I had to read it once for something. But usually there is a chart, you know, or hopefully you've developed your ear enough where you can just hear what you're supposed to do. But I think it's very important to know all things, and it's very confusing when you're learning to try and learn all at once. And I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. So I think it's good to just do things in little increments.
That's very helpful. Well, we have our caller from Belgium wants to follow up, so we'll go and talk with them again. Line number one. Good morning.
Yes, I hate to monopolize your time, but I'm definitely a guitar aficionado, but I can't play. And I notice something in guitar music, and sometimes you hear it in some styles and you don't hear it in other styles. And it was prevalent in that beautiful piece you just played. As guitar players move, and Mr. Brighton, I'm sure you can answer this question too, as guitar players move their fingers in their left hand, if that's the one that's on the neck, as they move it, you'll hear their fingers scrape across the strings as they go from one note to another, and you hear a little squeak. Now, some types of playing, you can hear this very readily, and other types, you can't hear it at all. And what is it? Am I right? Is it their fingers moving across the strings, and is there a way to fix that?
Well, if you want to fix it, some people love it.
Oh, is that right?
I love that track. Not only can you hear Yorma's fingers squeaking on those strings, you can also hear the snaps on my shirt clicking against the guitar because I forgot to roll my sleeve up. We recorded that live. So right towards the end of the track, if you listen really carefully, you hear just two little click, click, and yeah, that's the snaps. But wow. Getting back to your question regarding the string noise, that is, you know, people's chemicals in their skin and the way they sweat in reaction to the strings, which can be either bronze or nickel. That also makes a difference. The person's chemical makeup, the string makeup, or the strings new. If they're new, they're definitely going to squeak. There are certain things you can purchase at music stores that alleviate this. I personally like it. I think it adds a really nice, you know, you are there, you are here in the room kind of thing. And I like hearing all that stuff. But yes, there's definitely things, you know, if you were going to record, you would definitely want to work your strings in and maybe not have them so new and stiff. Jack, what do you think about this? Squeak or no squeak?
Well, I think it depends on what you're playing. And so I just read an interview with John Williams where he was talking about the kind of strings that he used. They're polished, so there's less of a squeak as you move your fingers up and down the strings. And I think mm-hmm. it's especially pronounced with the wound strings.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's a matter of preference. I agree. I think sometimes those artifacts are just charming.
As opposed
to annoying.
Yeah.
I never noticed there was a controversy in this.
Well, I think you've started it here from Mr. Belgium. I think you've started a big controversy here.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. The anti-squeak faction against the... Well, there are all kinds of controversy in guitar playing. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. But that's an interesting point. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, and certainly as more people seem to be doing more and more live recording in studios, I think you hear all kinds of stuff like that. Ry Cooder, you know, and... getting back to him, I love his recordings. You can actually hear his bar kind of clacking against the fretboard sometimes. And I listen for stuff like that.
Yeah. You know. Well, Rory Block last night, okay, mm-hmm. what performed at the Krannert, the Walla Walla Guitar Festival, she attacks that guitar.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's great.
And her technique is just, it's so, again, getting back to this issue of voice, she has a very unique, that's redundant, isn't it, style of attacking the guitar, and she uses essentially a socket wrench mm-hmm. as a slide, which is kind of heavy, and when I've tried to use one, I couldn't even, it was like, you know, way too heavy. It was like trying to play slide with a cinder block or something. And, you know, but that's part of her sound, and it's amazing.
She's a very percussive player. Even her finger-picking styles have a very percussive sound. She's just an amazing, amazing singer and guitar player. And she really does. She attacks what she does, but also can be very soft and beautiful, too. And she's written so many pretty songs. And I took a couple of guitar lessons from her when I lived in Woodstock. I was just playing guitar. That was even before I picked up dobro, because I love that kind of style of playing. And actually, I miss it. I When I started playing slide guitar, I just kind of abandoned regular guitar. So I have no calluses left. So if I pick up a regular guitar now, I can't play
it.
Someday. Yeah. It's on my list of things to do someday.
Well, your slide playing is so beautiful.
Thank you.
Speaking of controversies in guitars, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is the right hand picking technique. You know, and there are different kinds of playing and schools of guitar playing. Many people, such as myself, use a pick or a plectrum because I'm totally incompetent at finger picking. But with slide guitar, you're using finger picks?
Most people do.
Yeah.
You know, there are players that don't. And the tone is great when you don't. It's totally different. There was one dobro player, Tut Taylor, who is one of my favorites, that played with flat pick. But generally, it's a thumb pick and two metal finger picks. And that's very hard to get used to. When I give workshops, a lot of times the students get kind of cranky because they have to wear these things on their fingers. But there actually is a way, there's a certain way to put them on so they really don't have to hurt. You know, it shouldn't be painful. It should be fun to learn how to play an instrument.
Can you explain how, or is that something you have to show?
You really do have to show it. But for those out there who might be experimenting with finger picks, the reason for wearing them, one, is volume. You get a lot more volume, and you actually get a lot more attack of each string. And I prefer the heavier gauge finger picks, like 0.025 or 225, because they don't bend out of shape. And I think when you put them on, the one thing you want to make sure to do is, like, the thumb pick shouldn't be, you know, sliding around your finger too much, and it shouldn't be cutting off your circulation, so you want to get a good fit. And then the metal finger picks, when you put them on, make sure that the tip of them is not sticking straight up your finger. A lot of people make that mistake. They just put them on and leave them, so they're like these knot, they look like Edward Scissorhands, you know. But the best thing to do is just take them and bend them back over the pad of your finger. Form them to the pad of your finger, just so a little bit of the tip is sticking up above your nail.
Do you always strike as a sort of a downstroke with the fingers? Are you ever going both ways when you
back?
Strike?
No, I usually go. Okay. Yeah, I'm okay. Going back. I gotta think. Unless I'm doing rhythm behind somebody, depending on the type of music. Like for swing, I'll actually pretty much just play with my thumb and mute the strings after each stroke, just for a little bit of a muted percussive stuff.
Well, we have just about maybe 15 minutes left with our guest, Cindy Cashdollar, slide guitarist extraordinaire, and she is here in the studio with us, and she's in town here to take part in the Wall-to-Wall Guitar Festival, performing at 5 o'clock today in a free show at the Krannert Center lobby, and then tonight at 10 o'clock in a presentation called Masters of the Slide Guitar at the Tryon Festival Theater, for which you need tickets. And maybe they're still available, I don't know. The website, walltowallguitar.com. And you can also call the Krannert office at 333-6280. That's 217 area code. I want to play some more music, but also I'll invite people, if you want to get in the phone queue in the remaining time here, 333-9455 around Champaign-Urbana. Toll-free anywhere else, 800-222-9455. Can we play this cut with Sonny Landreth?
Sure.
I love this track. You want to say something about it?
Sure. This is a track called Sliding Home, and a good friend of mine from Woodstock, New York, Jimmy Weeder, who played with the band, wrote this song and put it on his CD, and I always loved it. And in choosing the songs to do for my CD, I was just trying to match all the songs that I liked with the players. And so I thought this would be just a perfect one to do with Sonny. And so he, when he came through Austin, we recorded it in one day with
Great.
His band.
Okay. Well, here it is. okay, that's just insanely cool. And you're playing a harmony part there with Sonny Landreth. There are no tuning issues. It's just perfect. It's smooth. It's so relaxed sounding.
Yeah, that was the whole issue with doing this whole project was because there's so many different types of slide steel players on here. And I want to mention, too, there are vocalists. Marcia Ball is doing guest vocals on here. Johnny Nicholas. So.
Right.
Just so people don't think they're going to it's all instrumental. The issue of two slide guitars playing in unison can be a scary one, you know. But for some reason, we didn't have any problems on this CD. And I think that, you know, everybody that did this project has been playing for so long. And I think it's something that everyone's so hyper aware of. Mm-hmm. Everybody was aware of it all the time. Not to get in each other's way, even though it's recorded pan left to right. So all, you know, myself and all the guests on here, you can separate us and hear what each one of us is doing. I think everyone was just really listening and trying really hard to stay in tune without frets.
Your tone on that track, at certain points, it sounds like it's about to just explode.
Well, that's what I felt like I wanted to explode. I was just so happy sitting there, you know, playing with Sonny. And we just had a great time, and his band was so great. And it was just, you know, it was just one of those sessions that was really fun, you know. It's like didn't want it to end, you know.
We had a caller off the air who wanted to know about your playing with the Dixie Chicks.
That was during the recording. That was when I was asleep at the wheel. And we did our second sort of tribute to Bob Wills music called Ride with Bob. And we had a lot of different guests on there. Dwight Yoakam, Leanne Womack, Manhattan Transfer, Willie Nelson, and the Dixie Chicks were the guests. So we cut a track with them.
Hope that gets to the question. But if you want to follow up, the person who asked
sure.
Feel free to give us a call. In fact, we're moving into our last 10 minutes with Cindy Cashdollar. If somebody wants to join us, better do it in the time remaining, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. You know, I also wanted to ask you about the issue of, you know, being a female guitar player. I hear a lot of people saying that women are basically not viewed as guitar players.
Really?
Well, I can't imagine why.
Me neither.
Yeah. Is that ever, do you ever run into, you know, strangenesses with regard to, you know, your career or people's attitudes?
Sometimes, early on when I started out in the bluegrass world, I played bluegrass for a number of years when I first started with Dobro. I played with the John Harold Band. And I can remember distinctly being at a festival. And one of the other performers walking up to me and said, what's a girl doing playing that instrument? And I was so shocked, you know, and he was serious, you know. There's certainly so many female guitar players, you know, and taking part in this festival, Khaki King and Rory Block, and just, you know, they're all amazing. And so I'm surprised, really. I think, you know, I think there'll always be issues not only with female musicians, but, you know, a lot of times people take their car to a garage. There's a female mechanic. Well, they're a little skeptical. Or, you know, maybe some people go and they're going to have surgery and the doctor's female. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's a very small amount of the population, but I think that people are a little surprised sometimes seeing women in professions that maybe where they themselves aren't expecting it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, sometimes you do have to deal with that. Sometimes you have to try a little harder. Sometimes you have to make darn sure you're not late when you're showing up at a session. You're not late when you're showing up when the tour bus is leaving because you know what? They're going to say, oh, she's a girl. Of course she's late. You're always a little more on edge and a little aware of the cliches that go along with it, you know. But I certainly would like to think in this day and age that that's a very rare occurrence.
Yeah. Well, there have been many great women guitar players as well.
Over the years, so many of them. I mean, and so many Lydia Mendez, you know, I mean, just so many people from years and years ago for, you know, doing, you know, Hispanic and classical and every
rock and roll.
Memphis Minnie.
Blues.
Memphis Minnie to me is like one of the original rock and roll female guitar players. Mm-hmm. You know, you listen to what she's doing, and I think Chuck Berry got a lot of his stuff from her. I don't think that people. I don't think there's a lot of female slide guitar players or steel players. Mm-hmm. I'll say there's okay. certainly a lot of yeah. female slide guitar players.
Well, Bonnie Raitt comes to mind,
right? Yeah. But as far as steel guitar, not too many. I don't know why.
Well, it's a really hard instrument. I mean,
it's heavy
so many
too.
People
it's very
play.
Heavy. To
it's
carry
heavy.
Around.
Wow, I didn't know
it does.
That.
It weighs a ton.
Never carried one.
You don't have to go to the gym when you play steel guitar. But now, other than that little incident at the Bluegrass Festival, yeah. I really have not run into too many situations where, let's say, I did not get a job because I was female. And at the same time, I think a lot of people have misconceptions where you get a job because you're female. I disagree with that from what I've seen. I think certainly in this profession, you're not going to get hired unless you're serious about what you're doing.
Speaking of steel guitar, here's another instrument we haven't talked about. And if playing slide is like a trombone with strings, I've heard a good friend of mine says playing steel guitar is like learning to play a steel guitar is like learning to fly a helicopter.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Or Ryan Adams calls it that math problem with legs. It's just, you know, it's a very interesting instrument. Steel guitar comes in many forms, from the resonator acoustic, it went to 6-string electric. Then they added a couple more strings, and it went to 8-string non-pedal. Then it went to double neck and triple neck 8-string non-pedal, all the different tunings on each neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, pedals were invented, a series, of rods and pulleys, kind of system that attached to pedals. And so when you depress the pedals, they raise and lower the pitch of the strings automatically. So you don't have to move your bar around so much. And then there's knee levers that also lower the tones. So it really is getting into the pedal steel guitar, I think, is a little more complicated. But certainly so much more is available in terms of chords and lushness of sound.
You certainly, and as you say, I mean, it's, and I can't play one, but I can imagine it's not just a matter of you don't have to move the slide, but you can change the intervals while playing an interval. You can change one pitch without changing the other quite
yeah.
dramatically, or playing more than just an interval, playing maybe 3 or 4 notes at once, and you get these lush sort of moving chords.
Oh, it's incredible, and you do not have to move. You can sit there and just have your left hand holding the slide bar and strum a chord and depress some pedals, and it'll change like three chords. If people come to the show tonight, that's what Daniel Lenoir will be doing, is playing his pedal steel, and he does it beautifully, and he's got such a great style, and I love watching him play because his whole body moves with what he's doing, and it'll be a good opportunity for people, and he'll be performing solo, and so it's great. People really get to hear it, just the essence of what pedal steel sounds like.
Can we play a little bit of pedal steel off your disc?
Sure. Actually, there is, I don't believe there's, I don't play pedal steel. I play just straight non-pedal
steel.
Oh,
okay.
Steel.
I was thinking
Herb Remington, who played with Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys,
yeah.
still alive and lives in Houston. He is on a couple of tracks with me, and he is playing pedal steel. Twin Guitar Special is a great example, I think, of Texas Western Swing and what Herb did with Bob Wills. And it's the two of us doing this cut.
And I wanted to play some Western Swing, too. So let's play a little bit of that. We only have about maybe 5 minutes left, so we won't play the whole track. But here's a Twin Guitar Special. And again, the disc is Slideshow, Cindy Cashdollar. Okay, so that's Twin Guitar Special with Herb Remington off a slideshow. And we just have a couple minutes left, and probably just barely enough time to talk about your performances coming up. We should definitely do that.
Okay.
Who wants to go first? First of all, I'll say...
Go first. It's your show, Jack. Well, go first.
Yes, but yeah, it's our show. 5 o'clock today at Cranert in the lobby, a thing called Traffic Jam, and that'll be with Dyke Corson and Chrissy Corson and Red Volkert, and that's free, so there's no excuse not to go to that. Then at 10 o'clock tonight, Masters of the Sly Guitar. You need a ticket for that. That's in the Tryon Festival Theater at Cranert, and that's with David Tronso, Daniel Lanois, Cindy Cashdollar, and Red Volkert. And then I'm a little confused from there because you're playing.
Me too. Tell me what I'm doing, please.
I think you're playing at the High Dive tomorrow night, aren't you?
Yes, Saturday night at the High Dive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in downtown Champaign. Mm-hmm. But you're also doing a couple clinics.
Yes, and Sunday, the Saturday clinic is in advance at Corson Music, and that was a sign up, and that is for one-on-one lessons. Red Volkert and I each will be giving one on. I'll be giving private lessons on dobro and lap steel guitar, and he'll be teaching guitar. But Sunday at Course of Music at 12:30, Red and I will. It's a free workshop, so we'll be performing and doing a long question and answer portion of the show.
Great. And that is at 202 West Main in Urbana. That's
yes.
the other store. I mentioned the one in Champaign. Doug's got a couple of locations. But the Sunday clinic at 12:30 is at 202 West Main Street in Urbana. And you should feel free to attend that. And we're going to have to wrap it up, I'm sorry to say. Our guest again, Cindy Cashdollar. She's performing at those places I just mentioned. And you can easily get more information from the Cranert Center and from walltowallguitar.com. And the disc again, slideshow. And let's mention your website.
It's just www.cindycashdollar.com. Cashdollar spelled just the way it sounds. And yes, it's my real last name. I kid you not. A lot of people have been asking me that since yesterday, of course. But it is. It's a real name.
Okay. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. A wonderful show.